grace, mercy, and peace. These blessings and so many more are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Dear fellow children of God, most movie critics would put It's a Wonderful Life in their top 10 list of holiday films. If you think about that movie and you're familiar with it, there are really three parts. There is the first part where George Bailey realizes that more or less he has a pretty wonderful life. And then through no fault of his own, his life falls apart and he faces the loss of his freedom, the loss of his beloved savings and loan, and he begins to wonder, what if I had never been born? Wouldn't life, the world, everybody else be better off without me? That leads to the second part of the movie, where he is shown what life would have been like without him. So instead of living in Bedford Falls, people would have been living in Pottersville. Instead of his brother Harry being a war hero and saving hundreds of lives, his little brother Harry would have died in that sledding accident on a pond when he was a child. And his beloved Mary, instead of getting married to George and having a wonderful family, Mary instead would have turned into a bitter and lonely woman. And that then leads to the third part of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, where George Bailey decides that no matter what the extenuating circumstances, his life is a wonderful life. Playing that what-if game can be an exercise in futility, or at times, wondering what if can be a worthwhile endeavor. This morning, in our text, we're going to consider what if way back in the Garden of Eden, God would not have promised to send a Savior? What if 2,700 years ago, God, through Isaiah, would not have prophesied a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son? What if 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, perhaps there was this baby named Jesus, maybe even laid in a manger, and he grew up to be a wonderful teacher and a great philosopher? What if that's all he was? Because you realize that that what if isn't so much speculation for far too many people in our world today. People who this week will celebrate Christmas, but not celebrate the birth of the Son of God, of our Savior. They will still celebrate with family and friends as they're allowed to. They will still exchange presents. But for you and me as children of God, the thought of Christmas without Christ, the Word incarnate, without our Savior from sin, makes us shudder. Our theme this morning is rejoice, the Lord is near. And as we rejoice, there are three presents this Christmas that cause us special rejoicing. Rejoice that the Lord is near and appreciate the gift of joy, appreciate the gift of prayer, and finally, the gift of peace. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, he wrote this in about 60, 61 AD. Why did he rejoice? He wasn't looking forward to celebrating another Christmas. Back in the first century, Christmas received very little attention. He wasn't rejoicing because God had blessed him with such a successful year financially. He wasn't rejoicing because he was in perfect health. Paul was in quarantine, if you will. Paul was sitting in prison. And yet, this letter that he writes to the church in Philippi is what we know as the epistle of joy. Not joy in his external circumstances, but joy in the knowledge of his Savior. Paul says, I will say it again, rejoice, The Lord is near. What a great text for us as we look ahead to celebrating the birth of our Savior in just a few days. Rejoice, the Lord is near. And you think of all of the hymns that we enjoy that focus on joy to the world. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christians, loudly. Joy, O joy, beyond all gladness, Christ has done away with sadness. Not the sadness of a pandemic in 2020. Not the sadness of Paul sitting in jail. Not the sadness of Paul's year or our year not going exactly the way we would have scripted, but the joy of our Savior. And Paul's focus wasn't how many Christmas hymns can I sing this Christmas, and will this Christmas tree be the best one ever, and will I find my good friend Timothy the perfect present. He was looking forward to celebrating not Jesus' first coming, but his second coming. Rejoice, the Lord is near. That's the challenge, I believe, for us. To recognize that as great a joy as we will have in this next week, celebrating once again the birth of that baby laid in the manger, and the angel's announcement to the shepherds, and the wise men coming to visit him, that our greater joy will be the day we look forward to Jesus returning and welcoming us to his side of heaven. This is what the world doesn't understand. It's no wonder then that for the non-Christian, right after their joy of Christmas, there is such a serious letdown, because it's the end of a journey for them, a journey that for many began right after Halloween. And it's marked by their Christmas shopping and their Christmas decorations and Christmas lights and Christmas stress. And then it's all over. We recognize we also make a journey to Christmas, and we mark it with Advent calendars and Advent services and Advent hymns and our own Christmas shopping for those we love. But as Christians, we also recognize that Christmas isn't the final destination in our journey. It's just one more mile marker, Christmas 2020, on our final journey toward heaven. Rejoice, the Lord is near. And what a difference this gift of joy makes in the life of us as God's children. Because you and I realize that the more Christmas journeys we make and the more Christmas mile markers that we pass, the more we realize that very often those Christmases can be sweet, but they are bittersweet. You look at a Christmas family photo from 10 years ago, there are more than a few of us who say, but they're not here, and she's not here. Christmas 2020, to state the obvious, for most of us will not be what Christmas 2019 was, or 2010, or 1990. And yet, for us as Christians, when Paul says rejoice, we recognize that that Christmas gift of joy does not really depend on who sits in church with us on Christmas Eve. Doesn't depend on who sits around the Christmas dinner table, or who is quarantined on the other side of town, or who couldn't make the trip from the other side of the state or the other side of the country. It depends on that gift of a Savior that means the same to us in 2020 as he did last year, and maybe for many, perhaps means even more. And as we continue on our Christmas journeys, plural, we recognize that looking ahead to 2021, God willing, a celebration of Christmas 2021 perhaps will be a lot more like 2019 than this year. And yet God would remind us that as we rejoice this year and look ahead to next year, God didn't send his son to such a humble birth and such a horrific death to save us from something called COVID-19, but rather to cure us of a far greater pandemic, the pandemic of sin that is still going to be with us next year and the year after and the year after that. So what's a Christian to do? Rejoice, the Lord is near, appreciate that Christmas gift of joy, and then appreciate the gift of prayer. Paul says in our text, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Why choose a text that focuses on prayer as we approach Christmas? Well, because there's no better time to appreciate that gift of prayer than when we kneel at a manger, a symbol of our Savior's birth, and recognize the only reason we can pray is because God sent his Son from his throne in heaven down to that little wooden manger. So we can now approach God's throne of grace with confidence that we have in that Christ child a mediator between us and God, a mediator who says that whenever you come to me and pray in my name and according to my Heavenly Father's will, my Heavenly Father, your God, will answer that prayer according to his good and perfect will, according to his good and perfect love for you. So what does that lead us to do? Well, the first prayer perhaps on our Christmas prayer list would be, thank you, God, for that Christ child. Thank you for this gift of prayer. And then once we start, would you agree? Where do you stop? A prayer that God will help us appreciate that the joy of Christmas is not connected to the amount of money that we spend. A prayer that our children and grandchildren will appreciate that their greatest joy is found not in a package under a tree, but in a manger. A prayer that those this year that are missing someone they love, and they have a hard time singing any Christmas hymn without breaking down in tears, a prayer that they'll appreciate that the celebration that their mom or dad or husband or wife or child is experiencing in heaven puts to shame any celebration that we have, 2020, 2019, or any other year. On our Christmas list of prayers, a prayer that no matter how white or muddy this Christmas might be, no matter who is with us or who can't be with us, no matter whether we get exactly what we were looking for or whether those toys break 5 days after we receive them, the joy of Christmas guarantees us that God sent his Son to be one with us so that we might be one with him. And that leads to our final prayer, a prayer that this Christmas and the days ahead, we rejoice that the Lord is near, and rejoice in the most important gift, the gift of peace. Paul says, and the peace of God, which surpasses, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You recognize those words. They're the words that many pastors use at the end of the sermon called the votum. And what a cool thing that every time we're in church, we're reminded that that peace, the peace which surpasses all understanding, is traced back 2,000 plus years to the peace that was laid in that manger, to the peace that that baby would accomplish on a cross 30-some years later. That peace is something that we enjoy not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. The world sings peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And since the church first started beginning celebrating Christmases, I don't doubt that any Christmas there was conflict, a prayer would be, God, please give us world peace this year. God, please, at least a ceasefire. You might realize that happened in World War I. 1914 in Flanders Field, Christmas Eve, German soldiers climbed out of their trenches and began singing Stille Nacht. And the English and the French soldiers did the same and joined in English. And they exchanged Christmas presents as small as they were, chocolate for cigarettes. And then the next day, they engaged in a Christmas soccer match that the Germans won 3-2. What a wonderful Christmas peace that lasted about 2 or 3 days. And as wonderful as that was, there were still 4 years of war, never again a Christmas peace during World War I, and 8 million dead. Why? Because of the pandemic of sin. And yet, for you and me, we realize that this peace of Christmas isn't between political factions in our country or between races or ethnic groups. It's not between the Sunnis and the Shiites in the Middle East. It's not between us and Russia, China, or anybody else. It's peace between us and God, because God sent his Son to be one of us and take on our sins so that we might be at peace with a perfect God. And so we celebrate two kinds of peace. Peace of conscience, that no matter what sin wakes you up at night or doesn't allow you to fall asleep, that no matter what sin shames you and has caused you and those you love so much grief, that no matter how many times you believe there is no way you can move past what you just did, you have a Savior. A Savior who has taken those sins and cast them into the depths of the sea. A Savior who, in spite of our hatred for our God, has caused God to love us with such a deep, never-ending love, which then also gives us peace of mind. Peace of mind in knowing that if we have a God who sent his only Son 2,000 years ago, not just to be born, but to die, then that same God looks at us and says, why wouldn't I, at the end of 2020 and through 2021, and from now until I welcome you to heaven, give you everything else that you need according to my good and gracious perfect will. Rejoice in that gift of peace, which is what allows us to sing with the hymn writer, the world may hold her wealth and gold, but you, my heart, keep Christ as your true treasure. To him hold fast, until at last a crown is yours and honor in full measure. Amen. Please rise.